I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome back to Radio Times. In his first few months as mayor of Philadelphia, our guest Michael Nutter had to contend with the Great Recession and a few years later, a funding crisis for the school district. He also hosted Pope Francis in September and negotiated with the Democratic National Committee to host their convention in Philadelphia this summer. During Nutter's tenure, the crime rate dropped, the population grew, especially among millennials, and Philadelphia is now seen as a cool place to live. In fact, it's been named the first UNESCO World Heritage City in the country. The poverty rate, though, has remained stubbornly high at about 25%. We asked Mayor Nutter to join us on Radio Times to discuss his time in office, the lessons he's learned as Philadelphia's top official, how he thinks the city can solve some of its biggest problems, his advice for Philadelphia's next mayor, Jim Kenney, and what he's going to do next. And Mayor Nutter, it's been many years, and you've been on the show many times as mayor and as a member of city council, and nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Marty, always good to be with you.
Always good to have you with us as well. Your job is clearly not done. Yesterday, you had to deal with what you called an ignorant act. A severed pig's head was left at the Al-Aqsa Islamic Society Mosque and School in North Philadelphia. Do you know where the investigation stands now?
It's ongoing. As Police Commissioner Ramsey indicated yesterday, there is some amount of surveillance video that the Philadelphia Police Department is trying to enhance. It may be able to pick up, for instance, a license plate or something like that. But again, the commissioner did, and I will now, we're appealing to the public. Someone may have seen something. Someone may know something. Someone may even know who did this despicable act, and they need to be brought to justice. This is unacceptable here in our city, and all people of faith are united in opposing this kind of discrimination and desecration. So we need to wrap this one up.
Well, and I want to wrap this one up as well. I just have to say, yesterday you had some criticisms for Donald Trump, and I should say that he tweeted back at you. I'll just read the tweet at Mayor Nutter of Philadelphia, who was doing a terrible job. Everyone's doing a terrible job, according to Donald Trump. Should be ashamed for using such a disgusting word to refer to me. He called you a lowlife. You called him an ass.
Yeah, I did.
Among
I stand by it. I think it's pretty clear. But, you know, that's yesterday's news. And, you know, he needs to focus a whole lot less on me. He does not know me at all and doesn't know anything about the city of Philadelphia. He needs to clean up the mess that he has been making, including yesterday, and apologize to members of the Muslim faith and citizens of the United States of America for his intolerable views.
Let me move on. And I get the feeling that if you could run another term for mayor of Philadelphia, you would do it. The city charter won't let you. You have to give up this job in less than a month.
Yeah.
Are you ready to go?
As I said some other interview, I said I've read the charter numerous times. I was looking for any possible loophole, and they just don't exist. No, I'm only playing. I love the work. I love the people. I love the progress that we've made, and the challenges still ahead. And I am in no way, shape, or form a situation where it's like, you know, oh, I can't wait until this is over. I'm really enjoying doing this work, even with the challenges and sometimes the terrible tragedies that happen. But the rules are the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now in a kind of an unusual position where, as has been commented by some others, that, I mean, we keep a very busy and active schedule. I have a full day of activities. At the same time, I need to pack.
Go through all your things,
yeah.
Right?
I have a lot of stuff. People have been so kind and gracious and loving in, you know, giving me, you know, many things, T-shirts, hats, jackets, plaques, books, all kinds of things, and of which I'm deeply appreciative. But again, the rules are the rules. We've known for a long, long time that this day, this moment was coming. But you serve until the last day. And, you know, I took an oath of office twice on the stage of the Academy of Music discharge my duties with fidelity. That is literally the last line of the oath. That's what I'm going to do. And as long as I am the mayor of the city of Philadelphia, I come to work every day. I do my job. I do the things that we set out to do, and will fulfill commitments and promises that I've made for as long as I hold that that office. And then, much like I've characterized a relay race, there will be an excellent baton handoff to Mayor-elect Kenney. At that point, I will walk off the stage, and my responsibility is to continue to love this city, support the mayor in all of his efforts, and continue to move Philadelphia forward. That's all I care about.
And I want to pick up on all of that. What, though, do you think you will miss the most?
I'll miss the people, both the folks that I work with. I have been so fortunate. We have been so fortunate that when you look at the top tiers of the government, probably still about 90% of the people that I started with in January of 2008 are still in the government. The longest serving finance director in the history of the city of Philadelphia, who has now been reappointed by the mayor-elect, Rob DeBow. I asked as the first person to come into the government 2 days after the election in November of 2007. I asked Rob DeBow to be the finance director. He is now the longest serving finance director in the history of Philadelphia under the Home Rule Charter. Shelley Smith is the longest serving city solicitor in recorded history for our city. Everett Gillison, Desiree Peterkin-Bell, our city representative and director of communications, Clay Armbrister, who is not now chief of staff, but a longtime friend and was my first chief. I love working with all of these folks in the mayor's office and all the departments and agencies. And then there are the people of the city, who have been so kind to me, who have been so understanding, who have been, you know, tough at times, rightly so, in their criticism. It's Philly. I get that. I'm a lifelong resident. But so many people have said, especially in the tough days, I wouldn't want your job. I know you're going through really tough things. I don't like some of the things that that you're doing or proposing, but we have to do something. We're in a crisis. And subsequently, in the better days, they've been so warm and embracing. The worst moments, when we've lost a police officer or a firefighter or some other public employee, I mean, the city rallies around the city government, and they've certainly shown so much love to me. And so it's been an incredible journey. I never, ever imagined as a kid growing up in West Philadelphia that I would ever be mayor of the city of Philadelphia. It is just a storybook kind of tale. There's no reason, path. There was no, you know, it wasn't the family business or anything like that. And it's beyond being a dream come true, but it's been such an honor. And I love the work and I love the people, and that's what I'll miss the most.
And when you were an 8-year-old kid growing up in West Philadelphia, what did you think you would be doing with your life?
I wanted to be a professional football player, many young men want to do. And obviously that didn't work out.
How far did you get?
I played high school football at St. Joe's Prep. It's pretty much where I met Jim Kenney. Right. He's a year younger than me, and so, I think in my sophomore year, he would have been playing freshman football, and then we, went along our path in that way. It stopped at high school. It wasn't big enough, wasn't fast enough. It was clear that was the end of that.
Those are hard lessons, are they not?
Yeah. Well,
for
took
a young
it in,
person?
I took it in stride. Then I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to help people. I've been working in a pharmacy at 56 and Larchwood at the end of my block. I grew up 55th and Larchwood. Snyman's Pharmacy on the corner there. And thought about going to pharmacy school, and then ultimately decided that I wanted to be a doctor, but not really a physician who would work with people. The game plan was I wanted to become a doctor in order to help people, but I really wanted to start a business. I have always had an entrepreneurial aspect or mindset, and so I went to Penn in the engineering school, biomedical engineering major, and as I've often said, Chemistry 3 changed my life forever. Ultimately, I think the world's a safer
chemistry
place.
Chemistry 3 is pretty good accomplishment.
Chemistry 3 is great for those who become doctors.
Yeah.
It was not good for me.
Right.
And I realized quickly, this is not going to work. And ultimately, transferred to Wharton within the university and graduated from the Wharton School of Business. So all has worked out. And what I get to do every day is help people. And ultimately, that's what it really was all about when I was a teenager. So, like I said, an incredible journey, lots of twists and turns, incredible mentors and supporters and people who have helped me every step along the way. So I've been given a lot, so I owe a lot. And that's what my service has been about.
This is kind of a cliche question, but it's one that's asked when someone is sort of shutting the door on a certain part of their career. So what do you feel most proud of? I mean, as you look back over your 8 years, what do you put on the top of the list that says, I, Michael Nutter, did this?
Well, we did what I talked about as a candidate. We did what we said we were going to do. There were four fundamental pillars of government that I talked about as a candidate, and I talked about at the inauguration, and we stayed focused on for 8 years, that we had to reduce violent crime and homicides here in the city of Philadelphia. At the first inauguration on January 7, 2008, I said we needed a 30 to 50% reduction in homicides here in our city. As we sit here today, Marty, we've had about a 36, 37% reduction in homicides. Part one crimes are down. Every category of crime in this city is lower, and in some instances significantly lower, than the day I walked in on my first day back in January of 2008. We did what we said we were going to do. I said we had to increase our high school graduation rate and our college degree attainment rate. Again, talked about that at the first inauguration. We were at about a 53% graduation rate in 2007. Today, that number is 66%. 18% high school graduation, college degree attainment rate, rather, when I came into office. Today, that number is over 25%. And so, again, focus on what we said we were going to do. Now, have not made as much progress as I wanted, but progress is progress, and you keep moving on. And I expect that Mayor-elect Kenny, when he takes office, will keep that focus on public safety, on education. I said that we had to be a more sustainable city with jobs and economic opportunity at that time. Today, the last unemployment figures for Philadelphia are October. That's what the federal government released. 6.5% unemployment rate, which is lower than when I came into office in January of 2008 and lower than it was before the recession. There are more Philadelphians working today in this city than there have been in the last 25 years. And so we've made economic opportunity and grown those opportunities, especially for minority and female and disabled business owners, where we're now up to 30% of our government contracts go to that constituency group. So we've created more opportunity for people here in the city. And lastly, ethics, accountability, and transparency. The great work of now deceased Joan Markman, our first chief integrity officer, Amy Curlin, our chief, inspector general, and subsequent chief integrity officers have, at least in my view and the view of many others, changed the culture of corruption in the city government. And that doesn't mean that everyone is perfect or that someone isn't doing something right now. But people know better today that you can't get away with that kind of activity, that we've partnered in many of those investigations with the federal government or the district attorney's office to root out corruption in our city government. Those are the four things that we focused on. Those are the things that happened.
And we're going to take a very short break and then pick up on our conversation with Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. He is winding down his job. He's been mayor of Philadelphia for 8 years. Much more to talk about after this very short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne talking with Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. He has been a guest on the show many times when he was a member of City Council, many times when he was mayor of Philadelphia. And it's a kind of a goodbye interview. He's not leaving the city, but he's certainly leaving his job. And it looks like they are checking out some of the tweets that have been going back and forth involving Donald Trump. 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Any questions or comments to our guest? Mayor Nutter, you talked about the various accomplishments, and I think most people would say, you know, right on and absolutely. One of the most enduring...
But more work to do.
But more work to do, absolutely.
No,
but one of the enduring problems in this city is the high rate of poverty. Among the 10 largest cities, it has the highest rate, as I understand it. And even for those in kind of severe poverty, those people that are just living on almost next to nothing.
What's called deep poverty. Yes.
Exactly. In deep poverty, the city also has very high numbers.
Yes.
I know this was a big effort on the part of your administration and you personally. What has been so hard? Why is it so hard to get people out of poverty?
Well, it has been a big effort in our administration. And, we put out a ton of information about the beginning of this year, something we call the tale of the tape, looking at a 30-year history in a variety of areas, public safety, poverty, crime, employment, unemployment, graduation rates, money to schools, et cetera. And what you find is that since 1979, Philadelphia has consistently had a poverty rate over 20%.
Yeah.
That is the intractable nature and how tough of a grip poverty has in this city. In 1979, I was graduating from college, and that was a long time ago. And so to have that level of consistency in the poverty rate here in the city of Philadelphia is probably the main indicator as to the toughness of the challenge to reduce it. Now, at the height of the recession...
Because it's generational?
It is intergenerational. It is longstanding. It is obviously literally decades in the making. And I'm nowhere near suggesting that it will take decades to have a significant impact on it. We can't wait that long. But it's just an indication of it didn't just happen. It didn't just happen during our time. Actually, it was up to 28% at the height of the recession. It's come down to 26%. But what that really is about, what is the path? What is the pathway out of poverty? That's about education, jobs, or job opportunity, training, retraining, and better educating our young people who are of school age now, while at the same time helping the 27-year-old with two kids or the 35-year-old with a kid or a parent that they're taking care of or whatever their life circumstance is, how do they see their way out of that? And so that's why the focus really has to be on pre-K, which, you know, we have a universal pre-K commission. And again, the mayor-elect is clearly focused in that regard. We, our administration, working with Philadelphia City Council, has put $400 million of new annually recurring funds into the school system to educate our children in the last 5 years. That's the largest dollar amount infusion from the city in the last 30 years. And we'll start to see some progress there, especially if we ever get a state budget that properly funds education. And then how do we help adults in training and in literacy? Those two issues are the major anchors, the weights that are holding people back here in the city of Philadelphia. And so that is actually an area where I will share now with you, Marty. That's an area that I'm going to spend a lot of my post-mayoral time focused on.
How?
It is
doing what?
The number one issue that encompasses all the other things that we're talking about. The large umbrella of poverty deals with issues of education, job training, retraining, economic opportunity, literacy, crime, reentry, opportunities for those who have been arrested, have a previous criminal record. How do they get back into civil society, possibly without a high school diploma or education? So, you know, I will work in that space and have more to say about that post.
Like a think
post
tank?
My time.
You want to start a think tank?
There are a lot of ways to engage, and some should not. Some of the work that I'll engage in will not involve reinventing the wheel. There are a lot of organizations, and certainly the great work that Eva Gladstein and Mary Hortzman are doing over at Community Empowerment and Opportunity, which is now the anti-poverty organization for the city of Philadelphia. And we have a plan called Share Prosperity Philadelphia. And that plan needs to, you know, work and continue to be implemented. They just had an update about a month or so ago, a one-year update on that plan. So this is an area of extreme concern and has to be of great concern by everyone in the city of Philadelphia. Regardless of your current socioeconomic status, if you're doing okay, the high level of poverty in the city of Philadelphia affects all of us because it is weighing down our economy. It is robbing people of their true potential and true participation in the American dream.
You mentioned schools, and obviously a good education is a way, not just out of poverty, but a way to a good job.
Absolutely. And a pathway into the middle class.
Absolutely. And during your tenure, of course, the funding crisis that affected the school, Superintendent Height has been brought in to
Absolutely.
Address that. Also dealing with the School Reform Commission,
Sure.
the state takeover of the schools that predated you.
Yeah.
Do you think charters have been for the school, have been good for the district, good for the city, the fact that people can potentially choose a charter? And do you think the School Reform Commission should be disbanded?
Well, you've packed a lot of things
I
in
did.
That question. So let me go. Charters, high-performing charters are a welcome option for parents and students if they are properly funded and do not take away funds from the district-managed schools. So therein lies an immediate conflict. There was a line item 4 years or so ago that was a charter reimbursement line item in the state budget under the previous governor, which was eliminated. That was $110 million right off the top that was taken away from the Philadelphia School District. So there are some high-performing charters where kids are doing very, very well. That's fantastic. There are some okay-performing charters, and obviously they want to do better. And there are some charters that are underperforming, and like a district-managed school that is not performing well, they should be closed. So it's just another high-quality educational option that should be available to the parents and children in this city. We need to stop this battle, this fight, this consternation between district-managed schools and charter schools, both of which are public schools because they receive public dollars. They're just options. And they're not a panacea. It's not, you know, magic. Some do really well and some don't, just like the school districts manage schools. Some do really well and some don't. So, but without the proper resources, both have really had their challenges and their struggles. And we need the state to implement the additional funding that Governor Wolf has called for and subsequently then implement a student-weighted funding formula that takes into account the new money first. And the current state of affairs is a complete disaster for all students across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in all 500 school districts. But we here in the city, and I have to commend Council President Clark and the members of City Council, time and time and time again have taken tough votes to put forward additional dollars to educate our children, and they deserve credit for that.
The School Reform Commission brought in, obviously, when the state took over the running of the district.
Yes, to improve the finances of the school district, which is how it was touted back in 2001. And the School Reform Commission has no ability to raise one dime from anywhere. They're a management and policy organization. I said in another part of your building here about a month or so ago in a speech that under certain conditions, it is time, certainly in 2016, to start the conversation and lay out a process for ending the School Reform Commission. But it starts with a student-weighted funding formula put in place, a pathway and a five-year plan that shows financial stability for the school district of Philadelphia, and that the state is going to continue to do its part, and a series of benchmarks, and that along the way, if those are met, then we should return to local control. And the mayor should be in charge of public education in the city of Philadelphia as the chief executive officer of this city.
And that's Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, our guest in this hour of Radio Times, talking about his 8 years in office, some of the successes, some of the enduring challenges, and again, taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. I see a lot of comments here, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me see. A lot of people like you here. Mayor Nutter for president.
Well, that beats the alternative.
From Richard. Facebook comment from Josephine. People are buttering you up here. I'm hearing the voice of Mayor Nutter, familiar and agreeable. I've admired his philosophy and performance in his position.
Thank you.
I'll miss his voice. Congratulations on a job well done, Mayor Nutter. Any future political aspirations?
I have not given one thought to future politics. I am so laser focused on finishing out my term well, finishing strong, doing what we're supposed to do. And, you know, quite honestly, Marty, making sure as best I can have my voice out there that many of the issues and programs and things that matter to this city and its people, many of them continue on into the future. I've worked with Mayor Mitch Landrieu, for instance, from New Orleans. We created something called Cities United. It's an organization primarily supported by Casey Family Programs that is specifically focused on violence in the African-American community, young men and boys in the African-American community. That work needs to continue. We have a summit coming up, My Brother's Keeper Summit. Philadelphia was one of the first cities to join President Obama's call to be an MBK city. We released the first comprehensive national plan for how we will implement MBK in Philadelphia. That summit is December 17th and 18th. I'm on the My Brother's Keeper's Alliance Advisory Board. President Obama asked me to serve on that board. That work needs to continue going forward. Active engagement and presence with the U.S. Conference of Mayors and the National League of Cities. I'm a past president in the U.S. Conference of Mayors. How we engage, for instance, with the African American Mayors Association. For the moment, I will be the last African American mayor for the city of Philadelphia. And actually, of the top 10 cities in the country, Philadelphia right now is the only city with an African American mayor. And so,
does that matter?
I think it does for many reasons and for many issues that have to be the focus of any mayor, regardless of race or gender. But it's more than a slogan. Black lives do matter, and relations between the community and the police department are very, very important. And we've seen the community relations strategy that Police Commissioner Ramsey has brought to Philadelphia. And I would certainly expect much of that work will continue under First Deputy Police Commissioner Richard Ross, who has already been announced as the next police commissioner when Commissioner Ramsey retires. So my larger point here is, these relationships have been built. These programs are in place. And regardless of who the mayor is, these are critical elements of moving this city forward. Again, I have great faith that Mayor-elect Kenney not only understands these issues, but that they're important to him as well. But those are some of the kinds of things that at times, people have busy lives and they don't always necessarily know each and everything that we're actively engaged in or that we're working on. Raising the city's profile across the United States of America, we are one of the only cities in the country that has won a Tiger Grant in 7 of the 8 Tiger Grant
rounds. What's a Tiger Grant?
I'm sorry, which of course is a government acronym. It's a transportation-related grant. So the best way I can explain it is the renovation of Dilworth Plaza to become Dilworth Park was supported
next
by a Tiger Grant and city funds and outside funds and, of course, Center City District. It was a $55 million renovation project, put over 1,000 people to work in a two-year period of time. But we would not have been able to do that project without a Tiger Grant. And our city has won in almost every round. And that's because of good relationships with the White House, with cabinet secretaries, with going to Washington, D.C., with having those secretaries up to the city of Philadelphia, which they love coming up here. We're the biggest city closest to Washington, D.C., easy to get to, and they enjoy working with us. And again, all of those relationships and contacts have to stay in place in order for the city to benefit.
Clearly, there's been a building boom in Center City and some of the surrounding neighborhoods.
Big building boom going on.
You see.
It's all over the place.
It's all over the place. Yeah. At the same time, is there a danger of creating two Philadelphias? The one that's successful, the one where people want to live, the one where millennials are coming in thinking, well, maybe I'll raise a family here in Philadelphia. And then you talked about this enduring poverty rate in other communities.
I think it's our duty and responsibility to make sure, A, that there are not two Philadelphias, and B, that we don't think of Philadelphia in that way. And that's why I said, just like everyone should be concerned about public safety, regardless of whether or not there was some criminal activity in your neighborhood last night or not, the same way everyone should be concerned about the quality of education that all kids receive, whether you have a kid in school, whether you have a kid in public school or parochial school or any other school system, or have no kids at all. All of these issues affect all of us. And so the issues of poverty, income inequality, the differences in neighborhoods, in this great city of neighborhoods, have to be of concern to everyone because it affects all of us in some way, shape, or form. We were listed as a region to be the 19th wealthiest region in the United States of America, while, again, this great dichotomy of having the number one poverty rate for the top 10 cities in the United States of America. There's a disconnect there, and we have to bridge that gap. But everyone has a role to play. The business community has a role to play. The philanthropic community has a role to play. Government at all three levels, city, state, and federal, clearly have roles to play. And average, regular, everyday citizens and elected officials also have roles to play. Everyone needs to do their part together, not separately.
This is kind of a wonky question. I'm looking at the clock here. Certainly, since your tenure, the wage tax or the business taxes that have lowered, and people are happy about that.
We're at a 30-year low in the wage tax rate.
Exactly. Property taxes, though, have increased. The sales tax is now 8% versus 6% in the surrounding area.
Yeah.
There's a cigarette tax. Is the city too reliant on these taxes? And is it going to hurt the city to think that literally we have a higher tax rate in the city for these very specific things?
Well, I guess the first thing, of course, is the old saying. I mean, everyone wants things. They just don't want to pay for them.
It is a way to get money?
Yeah. Well, the government runs on tax revenue.
Yeah, I understand.
We don't have a printing press in the basement of City Hall. So, do we have too many taxes? I'd be the first to say yes. And it's a complicated array and all of that. But where did they come from and what was going on at that time? The reason we have a higher sales tax is because the city was in financial crisis on a number of different occasions, or now is helping to support education and a little bit of money going to our pension system. That's where the cigarette tax came from. That's where the extra 1% on the sales tax came from. And yes, we have had to raise property tax rates primarily on the school district side, because the state was cutting funding for education at the same time. So, we were in a circumstance, the 17 council members and myself, we were in a circumstance where there were no good options. There were only bad options in front of us, and you try to take the one that is the least damaging. But, overall, sure, we certainly want to continue to reduce the tax burden and tax environment, improve the tax environment in the city of Philadelphia. We restarted the wage and business tax reductions. And as I said, wage tax is at a 30-year low, and business taxes continue to go down as well.
That's Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, our guest in this hour of Radio Times. We'll be getting some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. More comments at radiotimes@whyy.org. Stay with us. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane talking with Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. The clock is ticking on his 8 years here in Philadelphia. I know he's not particularly happy about that.
No, not really.
Not really. That's right.
That's the way it goes.
I know. Yeah. It's just life itself. Yeah. And we're looking back on his 8 years here and obviously looking ahead. There are challenges, problems, issues that, of course, still remain in the city.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking a bit about the new mayor coming in as well. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me just read a tweet from Joe. I'm a Republican, but Mayor Nutter and I do agree on a few things, one of them being that Donald Trump is an ass. I just had to say that.
There you go.
Right. The thing that will not go away. A comment from Dale. I disagree with Mayor Nutter. I've worked very closely with people in the inner cities. A lot of people aren't looking for training or economic opportunity. People would rather rely on government assistance. And I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah, I completely reject that. Last summer, summer 2015, so for instance, young people, a lot of criticism of young people, they're just kind of hanging out, whatever the case may be. We put out a challenge probably this time last year, December going into January, 14 going into 15, to have 10,000 summer jobs for young people in Philadelphia. The final tally was 10,818 summer jobs. Philadelphia Youth Network, Work Ready, fantastic job. But there were 18,000 young people who wanted a job. When we had a job fair for reentry population, solely for a reentry population, 100 employers showed up, 3,000 people showed up who wanted a job. People want to work. So, I mean, it's one of any number of insults to say that folks don't want to work. You'll find somebody somewhere, always, maybe doing something else. But the vast majority of people want a job. They want to know the dignity of work. They want to understand what the world of work is about. What they need is an opportunity. What they need is a chance. And so I have to reject that completely.
People want a job that pays. And as we know, there are many
either
low-wage or minimum-wage jobs that are being created, but you can't raise a family on that.
No, and that was why I initially signed an executive order to raise the wage for people who work for contractors who work for the city of Philadelphia. And then that was subsequently turned into legislation by Councilman W. Wilson Good Jr. That if you work on a city contract, the wage rate is $12 an hour with a cost of living adjustment every January 1st to adjust, hopefully, those wages up. Yeah, people want to work, and they need a living wage, and they need some amount of health care benefits. And, you know, we also approved with Councilman Greenlee paid sick leave as well. I mean, there are any number of things that we can do to try to be as helpful to folks as possible. And then we need, again, our employers to give people a chance.
We have a call. Ralph from University City joining us on Radio Times. And, Ralph, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, Ralph.
And I'll take my answer off the air, but this question goes back to your old investment banking days down at Pryor wow. Govan when Marty and Eric and all those guys were around.
Yeah.
And you, of course.
Yeah.
I remember dropping in on you. Are you going to go back to that direction, let's say, as social impact entrepreneur?
Well,
thanks, Ralph.
Thanks. I don't necessarily know I'll go completely back that route, but I can tell you, and I spoke at a conference just recently here in Philadelphia about social impact finance and funding. It is clearly an area of interest for me. And again, it's a part of, you know, post-mayoral when I actually sit down and try to figure out what do I want to do, how do I want to spend my time and spend the rest of my work life. Social impact financing is clearly an area of great interest to me. Philadelphia has an opportunity, I think, to lead the way in that regard. And that's actually some work that I've been doing with my wife, Lisa, who's also very interested in that work. We're also, you know, proud to be a Kiva city. And we just celebrated the first year anniversary of Kiva City in Philadelphia. We have people from in Philadelphia and across the country who are becoming investors in startup firms here. And then, of course, the city has its own startup PHL program out of the Commerce Department. Josh Koppelman and First Round Capital managing money to invest in startup companies. So that is an area of interest, but also I think an area where Philadelphia can excel.
Ralph, thanks for the call to Radio Times. You can call as well, 1-888-477-9499. And again, send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. You and Jim Kenney both attended St. Joe's Prep. You were, what, a year ahead of him?
I'm a year ahead, yes.
Is there something about St. Joe's Prep that creates mayors or
well,
members of city council?
I don't know, but I said at some press conference not too long ago, I think this may be the first time in the city's history that the succeeding mayor and the incumbent are graduates of the same high school in the city. I think the larger issue is St. Joseph's Preparatory High School, the Jesuit high school in Philadelphia. In the teachings that both of us received, it's the fundamental premise of being a man for others, that service is a part of your duty and responsibility and obligation and giving back. And, of course, we experienced that on a worldwide basis with Pope Francis and certainly his incredible visit here in Philadelphia. So, you know, there are a lot of prep guys who are in varying levels of public service or actively engaged in community. It is a part of the teaching and learning, and I'm very proud of my time at the prep. It truly changed my life.
And what's your major piece of advice to Mayor Kenney? I mean, it's not like he doesn't know Philadelphia. He's served on city council, as you did as well.
Yeah. I think for the moment, get some rest. And get ready for, you know, the most incredible journey that you're ever going to experience. He's made a number of announcements about some really great people coming into government, some who are already in the government that either I had an opportunity to ask to come into government or people who are already here that we appointed to different positions, as well as some new people to government. Harold Epps, certainly no stranger to the business community, but had not had previous government service. He's excited. I see him at everything that I go to, and I think that's really great. Otis Hackney, you know, kind of already in public service, South Philly High as a principal, but different when you come into the government. So just a couple folks that I know, and he'll do a great job. He knows the city well, passionate about Philadelphia. He'll have his own views. He'll have his own style. And I think, you know, to the extent that we all can, as was the case with me, You know, the new mayor should be able to be the new mayor.
You're not going to pick up the phone and call him?
Well, first, not have a whole lot of, comparisons. You know, Mayor Nutter did this, Mayor Street did this, Mayor Rendell did this. Right. You're not any of those people. At the same time, I believe in the kind of the presidential rule in this regard. And by way of example, so President George H.W. Bush never said anything about President Clinton. President Clinton never said anything about George W. Bush, and George W. Bush never said anything about President Barack Obama. And it also goes backwards in the same way. You never hear President Obama say anything about President Bush's tenure, whether he agreed with different things or not. So that's about respect and getting out of the way. I'll be at the inauguration. I'll be on the stage, second row.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, the previous mayors are always asked to come,
right.
And they were there for mine. It's just part of the duty of being a past mayor. I'll be there. The curtain will go up, the ceremony will end, and I'll walk off the stage. And I think you just have to get out of the way. And there's only one mayor at a time.
And where will you just go? Will you go home? Where are you going to go?
Well, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do the rest of the day. By that time, it'll probably be lunchtime.
I was going to say, go to a nice Philadelphia restaurant,
yeah,
right?
Kind of hang out. And then, I'll just take a little bit of a break. I've been in public life 30 plus years. I've been in elective office 22 and a half years, pretty much straight, just with the break between my council and mayoral time. And, I just need to figure out what I want to do next and how I best want to spend my time. How can I most support this city and the next administration and stay out of the way at the same time? I have my own interests and passions, that's what I'm going to do.
Let me get some more callers. We have Elaine from, it looks like, Avalon joining us on Radio Times. That would be Avalon, New Jersey. Go ahead, Elaine. You're on Radio Times.
Hello. I wanted to thank you for your service to Philadelphia. I think you've been an exemplary mayor.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you that one time I was on my way up to file an appeal, and I saw William Penn, and I headed toward there, and I got in the inside lane, and there were six lanes, and I was in a 23-year-old diesel Mercedes. I could not get over in the other lanes. I thought, I'm just going to run out of gasoline. So I went in where you park. And I went around, and I ran in with my appeal. And when I got out, of course, I was surrounded by guards, thinking I was some sort of terrorist.
You took the mayor's parking space?
Yes, only on the other side.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's
who it was,
hopefully,
right?
Hopefully things worked out.
And there was the kindest woman. I hope you can know who she is.
Okay.
She's the daughter of a minister. She's dark-skinned.
Okay.
And she understood right away that I had made an awful mistake.
Well, it's okay.
And she moved the barriers out of the way. And I said, but how am I going to get over all those six lanes?
Yeah.
And she said, watch me. Just follow me. And she put on her lights.
Very
and
good.
And she headed me out and pointed to the right direction. If there's anything you can do to promote her or give her flowers or anything before you're out of office, I can't tell you how grateful I am for her kindness.
Oh, that's very nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
thanks for calling
into Radio Times.
Yeah.
Let me see what John from Fishtown has to say. And, John, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi there. I had basically a great experience with the city. I did when I moved here. I've only been here since 2009. I wasn't ready for how much poverty there was, and I experienced over $40,000 in theft, contractors, everything.
Oh dear!
I basically lost my life savings, but I found a free program called People for People.
Yeah,
and they gave me a solar training.
Right,
and
that's a Reverend Lust's program. Yeah.
Yeah, it was It was a blessing, so thank you for that.
God bless. Thank you.
Well, that's great, John. Now, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Well, let me just segue to a couple of other questions before I have to say goodbye.
Sure.
And we had all the candidates running for mayor as guests on the show, and to the five Democrats that were running. This is a one-party town. I mean, this is a Democratic town.
I think. Weren't there six people in that?
Oh, maybe there were six. I forget. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was, it was a month ago or whatever.
But, it was a
but
long
nonetheless.
Time ago.
Is it a problem that Philadelphia really doesn't have a vibrant other party to challenge the Democrats? I realize it gives Democrats this huge advantage. You've been one your life.
Yeah.
But still, is it good for democracy?
We want a vigorous democracy. And I think however you characterize it, I think the larger issue really is about people voting, regardless of their party. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Socialist, I mean, whatever party you're in. And so I think the even greater threat to democracy is the declining voting participation. That is the real issue. And, you know, again, quite frankly, I have to figure out how I want to spend my time. But this is also a very, very significant issue, especially here in Philadelphia. I think the height of our voting participation was probably the mayoral election in 1983 for, at the time, the opportunity to make W. Wilson Good Sr. The first African-American mayor. I think that we have not had, at least locally, we have not had a higher voter engagement percentage participation since that election.
What does that tell
you? That was 30-plus years ago. So people are they're disaffected. It could not be easier. But I will also say the election operation, the apparatus, the office, the city commissioners, I mean, we do a better job promoting recycling in this city than they do in promoting voting and getting information to the voters and letting them know what's going on. And then the voters have to step up as well. You know, as again, I often say, people walked 54 miles from Selma to Montgomery for the right to vote. All you have to do is walk 5 minutes out of your house. A polling place can't be any more than 3 or 4 blocks away. We have electronic voting. You push a few buttons, the day is, and you're done. It's 13 hours. The polls are open all day long. The November election, it was 72 degrees outside, not a cloud in the sky, and it was pathetic. And so we as citizens have to take some responsibility for that. Regardless of what the candidates are doing or not doing, voting has to be important to people. It actually does matter. There's not one elected official who's ever put themselves in office by themselves. Somebody had to vote. People need to vote.
Oh, we're almost out of time here. What is it with you and Rapper's Delight?
Because
we're going to play a little clip of you singing Rapper's Delight.
Well, you know, it's
very enthusiastic.
It's the only one that I've actually memorized. you know, I used to work in a nightclub and at the Impulse Discotheque while I was in college. And my best friend, Robert Bynum, his father, owned the club. We worked there while we were in school and after. And, you know, I guess if you hear something about 9 million times,
you finally learn the words, right?
It sinks in after a while. And, you know, so I don't even remember. I guess I really I started doing it before and then the first inauguration. And it's been, you know, going ever since.
Well, on that note, Mayor Nutter, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Marty,
and good luck to you for whatever your next adventure
will be. I appreciate it. You're one of the best. I love the collaboration that we've been able to put forward both in the city and at the national level. You know, Mayor Walsh is going to be here for the MBK summit in about a week or so, and all the other mayors across the country. We learn from each other, and that level of collaboration, I think, is significantly important.
Well, let's listen to Mayor Nutter, Rapper's Delight.
With the greatest of beats, when they're rocking the mind till you can't resist. Everybody, I'm gonna go.